ever considered that we are living in a unique time, that something world-changing is about to happen, and that it might concern you? If so, you're in the right place. Keep listening, and you'll hear thought-provoking views behind the news that point to a new and better future for all. Many people now sense that humanity is not alone. So consider this. If the Christ or the Buddha walked among us today as modern men, would we recognize them? What would they be saying? And most importantly, would we listen? Every Sunday on this program, Share International Radio will examine extraordinary events that are unfolding behind the headline news. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for. And now, welcome to this week's show.
Welcome to Share on the Air Radio. This is episode number 68 of Share on the Air Radio, and my name is Cielito Pascual. I'm podcasting from Seattle, Washington, and as many of you know, the central topic of discussion on this podcast focuses on a tremendous event and a message of hope, and that is the emergence onto the world stage of Maitreya, the world teacher, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. And as I mentioned, this is show 68, so we have many shows that you can listen to. I want to welcome all of our listeners from around the world, and especially those of you listening for the first time. Now, on every episode, we examine this story, the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom, from different perspectives, and we look at what is happening in the outer world today from an inner understanding. And what we posit is that central to the transformation of our planet is the implementation of the spiritual principle of sharing. And we present to you, for your consideration only, that following in the tradition of great teachers of the past, some of them, we know them as Jesus, as Buddha, as Muhammad, and there are many, many other great teachers that have guided humanity. For our age, the teacher of our age is Maitreya, the world teacher. Here, not to address solely religious or even spiritual concerns, but to address all the challenges facing humanity today. Political, economic, environmental, all of these are a reflection of humanity's spiritual condition. And the message is for people of all religious and spiritual traditions, and for people who have no particular spiritual leaning whatsoever. It's really about how we transform humanity and all life on this planet so that it becomes a viable, sustaining planet for all people and not just a few. And Maitreya, the world teacher, I like to describe him, he's often described as the eldest brother of humanity, is here to usher humanity into an unprecedented transformation where we will see at the basis of our economic and political systems the principle of sharing. And that sounds so unlikely if all we do is look at the headlines in the news today. But underneath all of these happenings, there is a great change taking place. And on this show today, we have help in understanding this great change from a scientist. She's based in, I believe it's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Specifically, our guest is a scientist who has decades-long experience in restoration biology and permaculture. And this experience, combined with a very recent 3-month road trip throughout the southeastern United States, has reinforced for our guest that there are definitely signs of growing awareness among people reflecting the energies of the age of Aquarius, and we'll talk about that a little later. And this growing awareness may likely be a response to energy signaling the imminent emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher. So let's welcome to the show Mary Beth Steislinger. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, Salito. Thank you.
Thanks for taking
the
time.
Great to be with
you guys. Oh, I'm glad you're here. Really excited to hear what you have to share with us, with our audience, from your perspective as a scientist. So let's jump right in. Before we jump right in, I will tell our audience who are new to please follow us on Facebook, Share on the Air Radio North America. You can find us there on Facebook, and that's really the best way to ask us questions. You can message us, and that's the best place to find links to all the information that we're sharing. And we'll talk a little bit more how you can explore this information online. But let's jump right in with Mary Beth. And Mary Beth, you have experience, as I said earlier, in the area of practical science. And I suppose science could be considered a way of documenting our physical reality in order to know it and understand it. And you have strong spiritual convictions that accompany all your work and your life. Why do you think, as a scientist, that spirituality is a necessary part of understanding reality?
Well, that's a great question, Salito. I gosh, I could say a lot about that, but I think the thing that comes to mind right off the bat is that as a scientist, I obviously like hard facts. And I make many decisions in the work I do based on those facts, you know, kind of the known scientific reality. But I also like to include that which is too often left to the realm of what we would call the improbable or even the impossible. And I like to call that innovation, you know, like the great innovators. Many of us are familiar with those like Thomas Edison and Einstein. They recognize this, and that they really work, I think, where intuition meets the repetition of the scientific method, in particular, to develop the new. And what was interesting about Edison and Einstein, the two of these two giants of science, they were huge fans of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who, of course, many of us know is the founder of the Theosophical Society. And Blavatsky, you know, she, in a lot of ways, was, a woman on the cutting edge of science. She's traveled all over the world and interviewed people all throughout the world in their various religious backgrounds. And, you know, she was collecting amazing amounts of information. And because she was directly in contact with the masters, she could bring down these facts and record them. And she set them down in some of her great works. Isis Unveiled and The Secret Doctrine are two of the best known ones. And I know that Einstein and Edison, among many other innovators, had The Secret Doctrine on their desks. So they were familiar with the ancient wisdom, the perennial philosophy. And, you know, they were able to kind of take some of the ideas that the masters had given to Blavatsky and kind of apply them to their work to do the amazing innovations that they came up with. I hear that Tesla was similar, that he also was a fan of what we would call the ancient wisdom teachings or the perennial philosophy, which came to us through the
Nikola Tesla. Yeah, Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla, yeah.
We're hearing Tesla associated with a car now. emphasize the science.
I love that, really.
The scientist.
I love that. Yeah, because that car is innovation. You know, the Tesla battery is really, I think a great nod to a great scientist who really didn't get a lot of recognition in his lifetime because he was so much on the edge.
Let me you mentioned something, and I wanted to bring it to the attention of the audience. You mentioned Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and her work with one of the masters of wisdom. And I think it's important to describe that because it connects to what you're talking about as innovation. And you also mentioned scientists working on the intuitive level. Can you just briefly describe who the masters of wisdom are?
Yeah, well, you know, there are three amazing women besides Blavatsky, also Alice Bailey and Helena Rorick, who are just, as you know, as a scientist, I always like to look at women innovators. And I think of the three of them as just like the triumvirate, the incredible group of women that worked directly with these masters and brought these ancient teachings that actually are fairly well known in the East to the West. And they brought them at a time when science was really getting a huge impetus in this country, but also, and this is, you know, the late 1800s, the early 1900s, where we also had a lot of kind of shoving away of the kind of the spiritual foundation. And what these three women did, I think, which was so amazing, was they brought, you know, the spiritual foundation back solidly into the realm of science and the arts. And so these great teachers they worked with, the Master Moria for Helena Blavatsky mainly, and also with Helena Rorick, and then, you know, they worked directly with, actually Helena worked with multiple masters, but those are that's, you know, the master who's often best known and is also known as St. Peter in the West, which is kind of an interesting connection for those who are Christian. So yeah, these masters, they work with individuals in humanity who have reached a certain level of evolution. And once humanity has reached a certain level of connection with their soul, that's when the masters can come in and actually begin the work with them.
And we're coming towards a break, and we're going to continue our conversation with Mary Beth Steislinger about science and the Masters of Wisdom and the priorities of Maitreya, the World Teacher, and what she learned on a 3-month road trip that should give us a sense of hope. Join us after the break. We'll be here.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcott, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from Spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
Maitreya's Mission, the book by Benjamin Krem, is a riveting exploration of life ahead. It reveals how the world teacher, Maitreya, and other ancient guardians of the human race are emerging now and are showing us how to release our divine potential. Investigate for yourself at shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. shareontheairradio.org.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're into segment two of Share on the Air Radio. I'm Cielito Pasquale with Mary Beth Stieslinger. And Mary Beth, you were just talking about the influence of the Masters of Wisdom and how they work with some of the most forward-thinking members of the human race, those who have reached a certain point of evolution. And we're using a lot of terms here. So I want to direct our audience to the source of our information, where you can get just the fundamentals and on what this story of Maitreya's emergence is about. Visit this website, Share, that's S-H-A-R-E hyphen international.org, Share-International, which is spelled out, .org. And our work is also based on not just Share International. Share International comes out of the work of Benjamin Krem, the author and esotericist. You heard in the break one of his books, Maitreya's Mission. He's written, Benjamin Krem has written well over a dozen books about this tremendous event of the Masters of Wisdom entering into our modern day world to assist humanity. And if you've never heard of Benjamin Krem, you can see and hear his lectures, which are on YouTube. So just do an online search for Share International YouTube, and you will find Benjamin Krem speaking at lectures in New York and Tokyo. Very valuable video that's grouped into different categories to help you learn about this story. So back to what we were talking about, the idea of innovation. Certainly this time, Mary Beth, is a time of great change, and certainly people who are sensitive, you don't have to be a great scientist like an Einstein to know that something is happening in the world. And certainly are those in our audience who are listening, they're listening because their intuitive sense is telling them transformation is taking place. So let's talk about your background as a scientist and how you came to hear about the emergence of Maitreya. What struck you the most about the story that told you to investigate further?
Gosh, that's a really good question too, because it was very interesting. But when I was a young adult studying in Great Britain for the year, I lived in London actually before I was studying in Wales, where I was studying marine science there. And so I decided I would work in London first, and I ended up living in Kentristown, which, you know, just coincidentally ended up being just a 10-minute walk from the house of Benjamin Krem and where he started his meditation group and that sort of thing. And I only found this out many years later, but I was just fascinated by that. Like, wow, if only I had been maybe a little more ready then, which was the mid-1980s. But that was a really special year for me when I was in Wales studying marine science, because I was blessed enough to be living in this incredible, really old castle called Clyne Castle. Those who are from the British Isles may know Swansea, Wales, and Clyne Castle is a famous landmark there near the Mumbles. And I remember just having these waves. This happened in London, and this happened when I was in Swansea as well, these waves of just this feeling of there's something really important you got to pay attention to, you got to wake up, you got to make sure that you don't miss it. And I kept thinking, okay, what is it? What is it? I'd wake up sometimes in the middle of the night just with a sense of, you know, it's right around you. You've got to find it. And, you know, it was, you know, my Harry Potter experience living in this castle and having, you know, kind of these magical awakenings happening. And I just, you know, I was thrilled with that whole year, and it was a magical year for me. And unfortunately, though, I think I had some very unhealthy patterns at that time in my life that were really holding me back. I was very idealistic as a sixth ray soul. For those who may not know, the sixth ray is a person who's very much an idealist and devoted to whatever it is they're devoted to in their life. And I was very much of an environmentalist at that point in my, you know, early college years. And I was often just completely despondent about the world situation, especially the environment, but also the utter poverty that I'd seen. I'd done some traveling down in Mexico, around Mexico City, and seeing these just amazingly huge, you know, areas of, you know, we would call them ghettos. Some people call them favelas, just very sad places where people were living in abject poverty. And I didn't understand how things could be this way in this world where we had such, you know, abundance. And, you know, at that time in my life, I was, like I said, overly emotional, emotionally challenged, not quite able to put things in the right perspective or right size my own responsibilities. So I was often, you know, very distressed about things. And so I think that's probably why I wasn't quite ready for this work at that time. I still had my own personal work to do. And so when I got back to the States to finish my biology degree, I ended up doing some work that kind of made me forget about this feeling of, like, incredible magic in the world. And where was that? I actually won a position on a National Science Foundation funded research cruise to Antarctica, where I looked at climate change and other such things. And I really realized that, you know, wow, okay, there was some really important things going on in the world right now. And what I was really searching for, these ideas of what were the keys to living in balance and right relationship, nation to nation, humanity to nature, local to global. Intuitively, I knew that those answers were out there. And I think it was only when I finished my degree and had an opportunity to work at an art center, where I also did some ecological work in my early 20s, that I started doing meditations around Goethe's work and Rudolf Steiner. And I realized that there were artists and scientists who were also practical mystics. And I really liked that model. And I thought, you know, that could be me. I love science, but I know that there's a certain level of magic in the world. There's a certain level of mystery that is ours to discover. And I think that really kind of opened my doors to realizing that there isn't an exact science to life even. And I started to really get some healing. And then my next big adventure was moving to San Francisco, and it's there where I got into a 12-step program and really became stable and directed enough in my life that I was ready to hear this story. And so it was after really getting solid and some good self-realization work in good old California, where they say if you're not doing some sort of self-help work, there's something wrong with you. So I really got into that in San Francisco. And right after that is when I heard about the Masters and Share International. I was invited to a lecture by some friends of mine. And because I had already been studying Michelle Small Wright's work and her nature research work, working with the Devas and the nature spirits, and she works with what she calls the White Brotherhood as well, which is another name for the great Mahatmas, the Masters of Wisdom, I was really taken by her work. She has a particular book called Behaving as If the God in All Life Mattered, and she explains growing up, being able to see devas, being able to see nature spirits, and eventually connecting to these great masters to do the nature research that she does. And she's an amazing scientist, really quite detail-oriented. And her Nature Research Center in the Blue Ridge, you know, was my main introduction to the idea of the masters. And so when I heard about this lecture that was about the White Brotherhood and the Masters of Wisdom, I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got to go to this. This would be fabulous. And this is where I finally, and this was just after September 11th, actually, of 01. I remember being so hopeful because I had been so discouraged by September 11th and kind of all that came with that. And so when this lecture came up, I thought, this is for me. I've got to hear this story. And that was Sheila Forrester was hosting an event. Sheila is the Midwest Regional Coordinator, and she lives here in Pittsburgh, where I was living at the time, and I'm still living. And Sheila said, you know, I met her right after the talk, and I said, this sounds like what I think I've always been waiting for. This is what that magical feeling that I had gotten way back when and living in Wales and Clyne Castle. It was the same kind of intuitive hit that I had then to say, this may be it, you know, pay attention. And so the very next week I started transmission meditation after hearing, you know, the story through this event Sheila had. And I haven't stopped doing transmission meditation since. I mean, I felt the energies that first time in meditation, and I was intuitively drawn to this powerful sense of connection. And so I thought to myself right off the bat, if this is really true, if this story about these great teachers who are here to not save us, but to guide us to, you know, restore our world, to restore our right relationship with nation to nation and people to people across cultures and across religion and across all the barriers that unfortunately we seem to have, if this is really true, this is the best thing I've ever heard, and I'd like some confirmation. So I actually asked for confirmation soon after hearing that amazing talk and going to my first transmission. And, you know, within a couple of weeks I got it. I think I would call it my only legitimate vision that I've ever had in my life, but it was so powerful and so potent that, you know, it still is very clear in my mind, and it sticks with me still today.
So clearly, Mary Beth, you have this real, we can hear the conviction in your voice. And I want to share with the audience again that we are presenting. You embraced him immediately, but it resonated for you. So hopefully your words have inspired our listeners to continue exploring this story, because only inwardly do we know what's true or not. So we're going to continue with Mary Beth Stieslinger on Share on the Air Radio, right?
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Did you know that Share International Radio is more than just a podcast? If you're hungry for thought-provoking views behind the news, there may be a Share International event happening soon near you, providing a spiritual perspective you'll find nowhere else. To locate an event in your area, visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. shareontheairradio.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We're back on Share on the Air Radio, and we're speaking with Mary Beth Stieslinger, who is a scientist, a biologist. She's involved with permaculture, and looking at that world from that perspective, she has come to know about the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher. She's come to explore that information very thoroughly over a number of years. How long has it been since you first heard the story, Mary Beth?
Well, since 2001, so about 16 years. And
over a decade.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful trip.
Yeah, 2001. I remember 2001. I was in New York City. 9/11, September 11th, when the planes hit the World Trade Center. That was a very serious time. Fast forward 16 years, we're seeing many serious events happening in the news. And you and I continue to experience a conviction about this story. Before we get into your experience of a three-month road trip in the South, what would you like to share as far as your experience of maintaining hope despite the outer appearances of the world? Maintaining hope that there are masters of wisdom, that there is a great teacher by the name of Maitreya who is here to guide humanity. Why do you continue to believe that that's relevant in the face of what's happening today?
Well, I think for me, it just is the day-to-day practice of transmission meditation and, you know, feeling those energies on a regular basis. And having that, you know, kind of intuitive connection refreshed every time I practice transmission meditation. I also know that any time I decide to tell people about this story, and I often get the opportunity to do that since I am an herbalist, an herb buyer at my local food co-op, and oftentimes people come in there asking for help around a health issue, or sometimes it comes down to, you know, maybe it's a depression they're suffering from or a great sadness, you know, sort of like I myself experienced in my younger years when I didn't really have this larger perspective, kind of the long-term vision of the evolution of humanity. And so I have the opportunity from time to time when it's right to share some of that with someone. And when I do that, I often have, once again, that feeling, you know, I like to call it that kind of magical hit that you get, that you're feeling like, yeah, you're right on. It's like a tuning fork. You know you're in tune. You know you've hit the right note. It just happens to be, you know, an inner sense that resonates. And to me, just doing this work keeps me balanced, keeps me hopeful, keeps me interested in what I see positive going on around the world, because there is so much good that's happening that we don't really hear about in the news. You have to go to certain sites to get it, and that's where I try to spend most of my time, because there is so much discouraging news as well.
So let's, I really appreciate what you've been sharing. And I like what you say about having a larger perspective, because if nothing else, this information does give a broader perspective and an understanding that what we're seeing today has happened cyclically throughout humanity. And there is a way out of the repeating cycle of what seems to be continuous greed and competition and violence and war. And again, bringing us back to the central principle that Maitreya, the world teacher, emphasizes, and that's the principle of sharing. And again, I want to direct our audience to share-international.org. And Mary Beth, you mentioned transmission meditation several times. For those of us interested in that form of meditation, which is a service meditation for humanity, where we also have the opportunity, any participant has the opportunity to work directly with the Masters of Wisdom. You can find out more at transmissionmeditation.org. So let's come to today or what you've just experienced from your trip, your road trip. You were on the road in March and in April throughout the southeast of the United States. And tell us first why you embarked on that trip.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I just turned 51 in January, and I thought, you know, I'd really like to take this time in my life, sort of, I hope it's about the midway point, and really, you know, kind of reassess, you know, am I enjoying I am enjoying what I'm doing, and yet I have a sense of, you know, there's an evolution happening, not only with humanity, but also with me as an individual. And so I'm trying, I thought to myself, you know, I'm trying to sense what's next as I commit more and more fully to this work of the emergence and Maitreya's priorities. And, you know, as I said, I'm a big fan of the 12-step program, so my third step mantra has always been, not my personality will, but the will of the soul. You know, so what is that sense I'm getting of these next steps? And so I thought this 3-month trip might be a way to kind of put myself out there and see if I got any more clarity about kind of next steps. And I thought, well, if I'm taking the sabbatical from my work at the co-op and I have a chance to basically do whatever, you know, what would I do? And I thought, well, I'd travel around and to some beautiful, as a biologist, I'd like to go to some beautiful national parks, state parks, wildlife refuges, that sort of thing. I'd also like to visit transmission meditation groups all over the Southeast and just along the way, just see who I meet and talk about this amazing story that I personally think is one of the most incredible stories out there. As a kid, you know, as my daughter grew up, I actually did read to her the Harry Potter series. And, you know, it really, to me, the story is incredibly magical and incredibly helpful for each individual because we're each on this incredible journey. And, you know, just like those young kids in Harry Potter, my daughter and I always used to think about, you know, Hermione and what an amazing kind of smarty pants, science kind of oriented person she was. And we like to pretend that, you know, we had these special powers too. But the truth is that each of us mm-hmm. do. You know, we each do have these special powers to, you know, come in contact with eventually as we become more and more soul infused. And so I thought, okay, this is my journey, my adventure to go out into the world and see what I can see and meet who I can meet. And it was a wonderful trip, and I spent most of my time in North Carolina, a little bit in Georgia, quite a bit in Florida, and then a lot in Tennessee. And my perspective was that most people I met were very open, and that even in the South, there are growing pockets all over the place of people who are very much searching and open to this information. So. And because I say even in the South, because I actually went to the University of Tennessee and grew up for a while in the South. And, I mean, when I was young, I had a Baptist boyfriend, and his parents didn't really like him to be dating me because I was Catholic. And I thought, oh, my God, is that still going on? And I guess it was, you know, and it's much less so even now. But, you know, that kind of thing you still run into now and then in the South. And so it was curious to see that. And, you know, one of the first things, actually, that I'll mention is that I did see a lot of family and friends of family, and many of them would say to me, you know, well, why have you left the church, you know, because they think of me and my interesting stories about these great masters, and I talk about the Master Jesus and the Buddha and how they all work together. And I always say to people, well, I haven't left the church. I have sort of integrated it and maybe transcended to what I think is my next step. You know, everyone has a different path. And I like to tell people that, you know, I'm very much still Catholic, but, you know, that's my family heritage from the Irish and German sides. But I'm also, I consider myself a pagan eco-spiritualist. I consider myself a Quaker. I attend the Quaker meeting here in Pittsburgh, and I really like their peace and justice emphasis. I also consider myself a universalist. I enjoy participating and honoring all faith traditions. And I practice transmission meditation, as you said, the service meditations, great service meditation that we're told by Benjamin Krem's master that you could do no greater service at this time in this changing, between this time changing between the ages of Pisces and Aquarius, than to practice the service meditation of transmission meditation. So I tell people this, and they kind of go, oh, what the heck? You know, some people are thinking, okay, that sounds great. And others are like, well, she's not denying that she still likes Christianity. She seems to like everything. So, you know, I feel like I have a place to jump off and talk to people.
yes, your friends and family are seeing someone who's sane and balanced and healthy. Clearly, you can't deny that there's something beneficial. Do you have people saying, well, if it makes you happy, that's great? Sometimes I get that response, and that's not my purpose in sharing the information. It's not about me being, you know, it's good to be happy, of course. But I don't share the information. How do I put it? I'm not trying to convince people. Neither am I trying to impress people. Neither am I trying to say, hey, I've got this great life. You know, it's more than that. It's opening people's thinking to a new way of thinking, that possibly there's a broader way to understand life. Are you seeing that when you experience that when you talk to people?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, it's more of a program of attraction than promotion. I mean, you put it out there, but you don't hammer people with it. But, you know, as a sixth-ray soul, I must say that from time to time, especially in my family, I've been accused of doing a little hammering. So I've tried to chill out in that sense. And, you know, for now it's
more... Yes, I'm sure in every family there's idealism that comes in, and sometimes we learn our biggest lessons from the challenges we experience in our family. We're coming closer to a break, but if you can just to entice our listeners into segment four, what's one thing that you, if you could share one major impression from your road trip? You did say you're seeing pockets of growing awareness. To lead us into segment four, any thought you'd like to share around?
Well, there was a great intentional community that I went to in Black Mountain, and really great permaculture community, and I can tell you a little bit about what happened there. That was an amazing sight. Really recommend.
Fantastic. We'll go into that in segment four. Share on the air radio. We'll continue.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every night, when the skies are clear, a remarkable event can be witnessed. A UFO the size of 5 football fields is moving through the skies just like a star. It pulses, it blinks, it changes color. This spacecraft appeared before as the Star of Bethlehem. Find out what it all means. Visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
And we're in segment four, Share on the Air Radio. You just heard a little ad about UFOs and Space Brothers, and that, believe it or not, is part of the story of the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom, because our siblings on other planets are very much aware of the transformation that's taking place here. And you can look up more about that story at share-international.org by doing a search for the Miracle Star. And we are wrapping up. We're in our final 13 minutes with Mary Beth Steislinger, who has so much to share. Mary Beth, will you come back again for another show? Because I know we can't cover everything you want to share in just one.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. This is fun.
Wonderful. So, you know, I wanted to go back. You mentioned something, and I was just very curious about it. When you were developing as a scientist, you were working on this foundation and studying the Antarctica. Did you find...
Salito, are you still there?
And any of them still here? Can you hear me?
You blacked out for a second there.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Happens with the internet connection. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're breaking a little bit, but I can hear you.
Okay. So, were you able, Mary Beth, to work with one scientist or two scientists who were exploring spiritual realms the way you have been?
Yes, very much so. I mentioned Michelle Smallwright and her work. I went to visit her more than, I think I was there three times to actually hear her talk and ask her questions about her nature research work. And she, like I said, worked directly with devas and nature spirits and the great teachers, the great masters, as well as the Space Brothers. So she was one scientist that I hold out as really my ideal type of scientist, someone who works very holistically, not just limited to what we would consider the known, and at the edge of, you know, academic science, which is very much controlled. But she has a freedom to work with forces that, you know, many of us would feel are quite unusual. And the work she's done is just tremendous, learning to grow with food, with the help of the devas and nature spirits, with no chemicals, very little inputs, and all just planning, actually being guided by the devas and nature spirits to grow the most optimally and most effectively.
Very interesting.
Actually, when I was in Black Mass, go ahead.
Go ahead and finish your thought, and then we'll go into talking about that intentional community that you were able to experience.
Yeah, well, I was actually just gonna move on right to that, because at Black Mountain, where Earth Haven is located, there are a lot of people that are doing permaculture and are doing, work with devas and nature spirits, in the way they farm, in the way they garden, in the way they run their small businesses. So it's very much of a progressive, open-minded permaculture community. It's an eco-village. There's close to 100 people living there. They live completely off the grid. They're surrounded by other communities and a very progressive community of Black Mountain, which used to be, there was an art school there in the early 1900s. And so there are a lot of progressive artists kind of settled in the area. And this is about an hour southeast of Asheville. And so I met Asheville, North Carolina, yep. And while I was there, I got the opportunity to meet there was people that were a part of a small ashram there based on tantric practices. And I went to a little opening they had, a dinner and then a talk. And at the end of the talk, people just said, well, why are you here and why are you interested? So I got to talk about the masters and Maitreya and you know, this unfolding of awareness of humanity right now and us kind of coming together, all of us, to work for the new times and the remaking of our planet. And people were just fascinated, and it was so nice, you know. People just thought it was just very natural and normal, and nobody was shocked by the story. And of course, it was because I was in Earth Haven, you know, this very open-minded space. And, you know, and yet I had that kind of same kind of feeling in almost any place where I really got to stay for a while and meet people. There were people open everywhere. Like after I was in Earth Haven, I went down to a 10-day silent meditation at a Vipassana center down in Southeast Georgia. And at the end of that 10-day silent meditation, the last day when everyone speaks, a bunch of the young women who were in my like housing area said, "Well, what about you, Mary Beth? You know, why did you come to this event?" And so here I got to talk about the idea that Maitreya and the Buddha are really brothers of ancient times. You know, they kind of took their, you know, they became masters, you know, fairly, or they worked and they were advanced disciples at you know, similar times, and they worked very closely together still. And so I talked about that because the Vipassana meditation 10-day course is all about the teaching of the Buddha. And so I talked about Maitreya as the next Buddha, and what an amazing, you know, thing that is that we have the Buddha here, and now we will have another Buddha, and we will have these incredible teachings available to humanity. And people from the course were just fascinated. They were like, "Oh, that sounds great. Can you tell us more about that, these masters?" And so we stayed up well into the night talking about, you know, the masters of wisdom and the three great women who kind of, you know, Bailey, Blavatsky, and Rorick, who spread the news of these masters. And so the women all wanted to know about these women. Of course, I mentioned Mr. Krem and his wonderful works, which take, you know, especially Alice Bailey's work and make it so accessible, because Alice Bailey wrote so much, and Ben kind of made that vast body of work, you know, the introduction at least, very, very clear for all of us. And so people, you know, are writing things down. Wow, this is great. And yeah.
What this is, someone may be listening and say, okay, well, you were driving through the, you know, the South, but you were at these places where people are already spiritual. Did you ever have an experience of coming across someone from a completely different background and finding common ground?
Well, yes, and that was a wonderful
experience. I don't mean to it's sort of a surprise question, but it just occurred to me
that
in the audience might be thinking that, yeah.
Well, I definitely did hit, you know, those spots where I thought people would be open. That was part of my intent. But then in between that, I would go to just random places to camp, and in one place I was camping, this amazing, beautiful wildlife refuge in Florida, near a place called Cedar Key. It's not the Keys of the southern tip of the Florida, but they're keys that are kind of near the northern Gulf Coast, a couple hours north of Tampa. Beautiful area where there's lots of crystal springs and lots of manatees and incredible wildlife. And as a biologist, I just loved that. So I was hanging out there for a whole week. I was at this wildlife refuge, and I met this really interesting group of union electrical workers, and they were just there for their long weekend, you know, finding a wonderful, beautiful place to camp. And I said, "Oh, you guys are union electrical workers. That's so cool, because we just organized a union at my food co-op, and wouldn't you know, we chose the union of called the UE, the Union of Electrical Workers and Machinists, even though we're a food co-op, because we felt that the UE was so incredibly progressive." And they're like, "Oh, wow." And so right from there, we were comrades, you know. And so, you know, we started having these long philosophical discussions around the campfire. And they were like, "Oh, Mary Beth, you know, you've got some interesting ideas here about the unity and diversity of humanity, and You know, you honor all faith traditions, you know, they thought, okay, we could agree that that might be a possibility. That sounds good because they're all about, you know, workers uniting. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. If you're a worker, you know, stand together, you know, work for sharing, work for justice among workers. And they thought, okay, you know, some of these ideas might be okay. I was talking about, you know, as a way for us to find peace, to find sharing on the international level. And if we could do that, we could really get to a place where, you know, we could really overcome some of the animosity and develop trust in a really deep way. And they thought that that was true because they had seen that happen when they, you know, worked with the brotherhood of other union workers and other, you know, even competitive businesses. So they were very interested about what I had to say, and I had my, you know, my whole little cache of Share International information, and I laid it out on my truck, and they were like, oh, we'll take this, we'll take that. So they took everything, and they really liked the stuff about the Space Brothers and Sisters. One of them had seen, you know, what they thought was a flying saucer at one point in their life, so they were kind of open to that. So, you know, you just never know who you're going to meet.
Those are wonderful stories, and we didn't cover the half of it, Mary Beth. We would love to have you back. For our listeners, again, visit share-international.org. This is all unfolding towards the Day of Declaration. We're not just talking about nice ideas. This is a real tangible event. So please explore the story, investigate for yourself, learn about how sharing can lead to trust, can lead to justice. Mary Beth, thank you so much for joining us on Share on the Air Radio.
Thanks.
Really appreciate that you shared your stories.
Thank you, Felisa.